Well, what do we got going on today?
We are going to talk with Ryan and Molly Burns, who have led community groups at several of our campuses for many years, and get some expertise from them on how to partner together as a couple to lead groups.
Yeah, so why don't you guys tell us real quick, how long have you been here? Give us a little backstory. Molly, you could start with us.
We actually have been leading community groups since 2007. We've had off and on probably 3 different breaks in there, so we're leading our 3rd group right now.
How long have you guys been married?
We just celebrated 20 years this year.
Okay. Yeah,
that's amazing.
So we started at Grace. So what, our oldest child is 18, so about 18 years ago, we joined Grace, and then...
And you guys got kids?
Yeah, we've got 3 kids. So we've got one in college as a freshman at Clemson. Then we have a freshman in high school, and our youngest is a 6th grader.
Okay. So you've been leading community groups for a while. You're busy. You got lots of different things moving. I'm glad y'all are here because we're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to lead a community group as a team. So that's exciting. What is the first question we could jump into?
Ryan and Molly, how would you say that leading groups over the years has impacted your own personal faith and impacted your marriage?
Yeah.
So we talked about this some. And I think, you know, there's some really good things that come out of it, and there's some challenges, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, it is certainly a very active, just accountability to pursue the Lord on my own. Because how can I lead others if I'm not in community or in communion with the Lord myself? So I think that's a big piece of it for us, that it does push us in that way. And quite frankly, it's challenging. I mean, there's been, with each group, we have seen some rough times with different couples or different people in the group. And so that can be challenging on us from our own. You just find yourself questioning, like, okay, I'm just a step away from making that same mistake.
Yeah.
So what do I need to do to kind of check myself against that?
Yeah.
Or even experiencing, you know, what they're going through. Mm. You know, how would I react if this is what the Lord had for me and my family? And so it is definitely challenging, because how do we encourage them and walk alongside them when they're sometimes in the darkest moments of their lives? And then also point them towards the Lord and help them keep their faith.
Yeah.
It can be hard.
Yeah.
Did you ask them to lead a community group? How did that story come about? What was it like getting asked to lead? And
yeah, so actually we had been, in 2007, we had been leading student ministry for a number of years, and we had just had our 2nd child, so Molly was going to step away because it was just trying to do students and a baby was just too much, and I was planning on recycling back through with a new group of students, and we were at a leader dinner here at the Pelham campus, and they said, hey, we've got people in are on a waiting list to get in community group because we don't have enough leaders. Mm-hmm. And so the student ministry was trying to decide what group to plug me into. And I just raised my hand and was like, you want us to lead a community group instead of students if you think we are able? And they said, let's give it a try.
Okay. Wow. And Molly, you were like, what the heck did you just do?
Most of the time, our volunteer opportunities have come because Ryan's like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty sure you guys were new leaders when I came on staff in 2008. Yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
All of our community groups are led by couples currently. And I'd love to get some ideas from just each of you. And Ryan, we'll start with you. Can you give us an idea of maybe some ways that you're sure, as you lead the group, to maximize Molly's gifts?
Yeah, I think that, honestly, was not necessarily intentional, but we've just seen over the years and over working with groups, one of the ways that I rely on her heavily is she's better at follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. My instinct is to want to immediately start correcting and teaching. And it's not that hers isn't, but she just does a better job of following up with a question to kind of help them work it out themselves, or at least get a little more out of them to get them a little more vulnerable so that when they do receive actual teaching or correction or even just advice, not that that's all I'm offering, but just I think she's really good at helping draw more out of them that I struggle with a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. And one of our future podcasts is going to be on asking good questions. So Molly, you may have just, you may get to come back for
again.
Another,
see what he does? Yeah. He just throws me out there. He doesn't even.
That's right. That's right. I know from my perspective, I like things predictable. I kind of like to know what's going to happen. And Jenny will come up with ideas like, hey, why don't we play this game tonight? Or why don't we do this icebreaker? And that is way out of my comfort zone because I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, it may flop. It may go great. But she pushes me in that way. And almost always it goes great. She's got the good, you know, instinct that that needs to happen. And I have to get out of my comfort zone. But she offers that in a way that I would not if I was leading it on my own. So that's really good. Molly, are there ways that you guys kind of divide up tasks so that it allows both of you to stay a little fresher or keep from burning out?
Definitely. I would say early on as we were trying to figure out how we operated in this role, we took a lot on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I remember speaking with another group life pastor at one point, and he was like, stop doing all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to delegate to the people in your group and let them take ownership of it. And so I was like, oh, I guess we can. Cause I guess I just didn't want them to feel burdened. I wanted to make it easy for them to come. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. Like, all we're asking you to do is just show up. But in reality, you're more bought in when you've got skin in the game. And so we delegated, you know, being ministry outreach and, you know, culturally engaged, anything social. And then as the years have gone on, when our kids were younger, I would have never believed that it would have been simpler to have social things. Now that they're older, it is very complicated. Mm-hmm. And so we, by our second group, we just flat out told them, hey guys, if y'all want to do anything fun, somebody else is going to have to plan it because mm-hmm. we have no margin to even like think about that. We'd love to show up and help in any way. But if y'all can think ahead for us, if one of y'all can take that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So little things like that. And right now, I mean, in our current group, we have one woman who's amazing at keeping us posted on anything, culturally engaged, ministry outreach. Mm-hmm. She's awesome at it. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for y'all mm-hmm. on the strategy that you have together. Do you guys meet outside of group to talk about what's going to happen at group? You know, do you pray for people in your group together? I mean, like, what do you guys do as a team that we could learn from?
So we talked about this some, and I think over, to some degree, over 14 years, it has become less intentional, and more, just kind of in a true partnership, you just sort of feed off each other. Mm-hmm. So we do have conversations either during the week or if it's been a busy week, we might have one shortly before everyone shows up of like, wait, what are we talking about tonight? Is there anything specific that we feel like a topic that may trigger something in someone or that we hope trigger something in someone? Mm-hmm. So we'll have those conversations and we usually have a quick sort of debrief that is just a, how'd that go? Anything stand out? You know, how was your interpretation of what was said versus wait, maybe what I interpreted? And so we do have those conversations, but they're less, I would say, planned and intentional and more just we've kind of gotten into a rhythm of it with each other. Another thing we'll do is if we are having a conversation around what we know needs to happen or things that need to be done, I think early on we probably made some mistakes of either I assumed she would do things or she assumed I would do things. And we were a little less partnering in that and just kind of like, oh, well, I'd do this part. You do your part and let's move on. And now it's, we will say, okay, we need to do these things. What's your week look like? What does my week look like? Who's got time to get them done? Mm-hmm. And so in that way, I think it has gotten better for us over the years when we think about it that way, instead of just assuming I lead the discussion, you do the administration, or vice versa, depending on how a couple might operate. I think it has gone better for us when we just look at our schedules and say, well, who's got time for it?
Yeah. So you're 14 years in doing this. So if you were brand new, you know, what would that look like for you? How would you start?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would a week look like of strategizing and you're not 14 years into this? I guess I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think that talking about it before the day of will give you time to process what you're going to be talking about. If you're doing a sermon series, that's one kind of discussion. I think if you're doing something on your own, that you've chosen, whether it's an Azair and men's roundtable studies together, that's going to look a little bit different. But I would touch base before the day of and say, we're talking about this. I think this might be hard for so-and-so and so-and-so. Let's make sure we keep our eye on them and see how they respond. And then even if it's something as simple as like, oh, it's David's birthday this week, I can remind Ryan, but I'm not the one to send David a happy birthday text because I don't need to do that as a wife to another man. Yeah. So that's, those are some simple things that we try and we don't really have delegated categories.
But you're talking together a day ahead of time. That's the goal.
And we're even just a, hey, we need to send this information out to our group. I have time to do that today, or do you think that should come from you?
Yeah.
You know, depending on what it is. Night of prayer is coming up. They need to know a head count. Can I go ahead and do that for us, or would you rather do it? And sometimes he's thinking differently than I am, and so him going, you go ahead and do it, that'd be great because I won't be able to get to it until tomorrow, or some other reason. So we just... it's not like a one-time sit down and talk about it thing. We really are just chit-chatting about it a lot during the week.
And Molly, you made a good point, and I think this is a big reason why our groups are led by couples, is that there are things that are would be inappropriate for you to do as the wife or for Ryan to do. You know, we're not wanting Ryan to go meet with a wife or a single lady in your group to discuss something she's dealing with that would be, you know, more appropriate for you to handle, and vice versa. And just the idea of being intentional. I know there have been times where I've told Jenny, hey, we're going to talk about this, and it may not sit well with some people in our group, or this question may be challenging. So when I'm asking that, I want you to kind of read the room and look at people's facial expressions and kind of partner together in that way so that we can then follow up on that afterwards.
Yeah, that's good. I know when early in my marriage, Rachel, she would, when we were talking with couples at dinner or whatnot, and I would, I guess, maybe do something awkward or about to go to a place where she does not want me to go, she'd like put her hand on my knee when no one could see it. I'd be like, oh, I need to be quiet right now. Do y'all have anything like that that y'all do during group or, you know, while you're with your people that helps you guys, man, just stay on track and do what we're supposed to be doing as leaders?
You know, we talked about that a little bit, and I actually think we're in a phase where we probably need to have that conversation of, hey, here's a tendency that I have that I need you to give me a sign for, and here's a tendency that you have. And we need to kind of reestablish that because I think as you go through seasons in your own life, it's gonna affect how you're leading and what's going on there. And so you kind of need to rehash a little bit of that. Certainly you're going to have habits. Like we know one of mine is I wait too long to get everybody going.
Okay.
And so Molly will kind of give me a side eye of like, hey, you need to get this started. We've been, you know, and then, so we need to talk about that a little bit more. One thing that I think we've even realized just recently is we either need to be sitting beside each other so you can do the leg touch, or we need to sit across from each other. We have a tendency sometimes to sit more sort of, maybe there's two people in between us and we'll spread out a little bit. And in that makes it harder because it's not a straight shot that you can see each other. And it's also not a, I can put my hand on you or I can, you know, do something easily semi-subtle. I'm also not a subtle person. So that is a struggle for me to not do things. People aren't going to definitely know that I just gave a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like whole hand on the knee thing, Ryan would just like put his hand on top of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd just be like, oh, hey, babe.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm like, no, babe. You need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So at the end, I do shut my journal and my Bible to be like,
it's done.
It is time. Yeah. So, and he catches on to that, but usually I'm the one that maybe I'll talk a little bit too long and I'll kind of try and catch his eye to see if like, am I okay to keep rolling or do you need me to wrap this up? And he'll just kind of give me like a little nod, like wrap it up, babe. So I think we need to be a little bit more strategic with that.
So. I think the hand on the knee must be a universal sign. Us, it is, I hate awkward silence. And so I'll ask a question. And if it goes too long, I tend to jump in and answer the question myself because I just don't like that awkwardness. And sometimes Jenny will kind of put her hand on my knee to be like, no, let's sit in this for a minute and let people process. And you're jumping in to rescue them too quickly. So.
Well, it's interesting how like our spouses help us and how we help our spouses. We're a team, you know? So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stories. It'd be interesting if you are listening and you have an idea or something that you do as a couple, we'll provide an email, or just reach out to us. We'd love to hear some of those examples, but I mean, being part of a team is so powerful. It's so, I mean, I love working with Rachel. I mean, I'd love to hear from you guys, and I don't even know if we prepared you for this, but I'd love to even hear some of the things that you know, Ryan, see in Molly when she's leading that encourages you, and maybe Molly, things you've seen in Ryan that he's encouraged you just because you're doing this partnership, this work together. Anything come to mind?
So I'll jump in. You know, Molly talks about that she might be the one to talk a little long sometimes. There's moments where as she's talking, I'm like, we should probably let others talk, but this is too good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to stop this teaching moment. They need to hear what's going on. And I think in that it has actually helped our groups because it brings a vulnerability. And that's been one of the biggest things that we've done in groups are like, we're just real with them. Like we're sinners and we're broken people just like you guys. We're not perfect. And so watching Molly be vulnerable of here's what's going on. You know, you're a leader, but yet at the same time, you're not being like, you're like, this, I don't like this. And I don't like it, whether it's I'm wrestling with God in that moment, like she just lives it out in front of him. And I think it brings a real vulnerability to our group. That's been really, really helpful.
That's cool. Molly, what about you?
Ryan always is able to pull things back to scripture. It fascinates me, honestly, how he can just reach in and pull out the appropriate scripture for the appropriate time or topic, and redirect any rabbit trail we might go on or even a misguided someone in the group and be like, well, actually, here's what the Bible says about that. And so it's very encouraging. And there's a lot of security that comes for me in that because we have people in our group that'll ask really good questions or be like, hey, what's a good resource for that? And I mean, Ryan just always meets them with with scripture.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's just a lot of comfort that I have in that. Like, he really knows, and he uses that not just in group, but even with our kids. He's a true teacher.
Yeah.
And he learns first and then he just teaches what he's learned. So I love watching that.
That's awesome.
So Ryan and Molly, we've talked about kind of being intentional leading up into a meeting and maybe some strategies during the meeting. What does it look like after a meeting happens? Is there kind of a debrief process that you guys have after meetings? Are there ways that you guys can give each other feedback when maybe you saw something in the meeting that didn't go well?
Definitely. I think I'm thinking of a particular instance, but there have been times when I maybe have jumped the gun in a conversation and afterwards I have to look at Ryan and be like, so what kind of damage control do you think I need to do here? And who do we need to tell? And you know, he's like, hey, listen, what you said wasn't wrong. It's just the way that you said it and maybe who you said it to. In that sometimes it's a male in the group that I just see, you know, and that is really hard for me. So I have to definitely wait, but we will follow up. We'll make a phone call to the group life pastor and be like, this is what was said. And we follow up with that person. And, you know, if it's a female, that's on me. I call her, I say, I am really sorry if you felt singled out. If it's a male, Ryan will call that husband or that guy and say, hey, listen, you know, the three of us want to have a conversation with you. if you're willing. And it's nothing huge and egregious, but it's definitely something that we want to own mm-hmm. in the moment. And so afterwards, we'll have to talk about it and a plan of action and who needs to know. And sometimes we do have to have group life follow up mm-hmm. With us in that. How did that go? And hey, we need to ask group life pastor, like, what do you think we should do next?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm thankful for some shade there.
Yeah. I think one area where we do like to have conversations afterwards, sometimes you can't have it right away because your own kids are coming back from student ministry mm-hmm. or there's just life gets in the way. So I would recommend just a follow up. And the other side of that is, though, not every group's a great week. And it's okay if it's not. Not every group's a bad week either. Like, or not every week's a bad week. Sometimes it's just like, oh, it's just a week, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But having a conversation of how do you think that went, getting clarity on, would you say that was tense, or would you just say that was a good conversation? And okay, well, that's something we got to watch out for next week. I do think that's important to do within, 24, 36 hours of just don't let it go too long to where you forget about it.
Yeah.
It can be short, or sometimes it needs to be longer. I know one area that Molly's had to encourage me on at times, I am not always good at stopping in the moment and realizing, like, we should just stop and pray for that mm-hmm. right now. I don't need to wait till the end, or I don't need to assume that people are going to go away from this week and pray. I think that's actually one of my weak points, is making sure our group is praying together. I tend to focus on the conversation and what are you learning, and not necessarily always giving us time to just, hey, we should just pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I have done that with our current group, it has been amazing. So that's I should do it more.
That's great.
And there's definitely moments where I can look at Molly and I'm like, okay, those eyeballs are telling me we have to stop right now and pray for what she just said.
Yeah.
And so those are areas where I need to work on and grow, and areas where I appreciate her correction at times.
That's great. I'd like to know too, you mentioned something, Molly, about group life. And so everyone in our church, every covenant member has a responsible pastor. So in a sense, you have a responsibility towards your group, but there's someone on our staff and group life that is helping you. Talk to us about the relationship that you have with that person. What does that look like? Do you, how helpful has that been? I mean, maybe what have been some of the wins in that relationship?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have a special place in my heart for all of our group life pastors that have been over us through the years. Because we usually go to them when there is something
crisis, some sort of
that
crisis.
We need help with. Yeah. I'm just thankful to know that, like, this is way beyond what we can do by ourselves. And it's like a plugging into just a wealth of knowledge and resources and people and connections that we don't have, that it's just really, we just never run out of, like, oh, that would be so helpful for this person in our group. Or, our group life pastor will say, this is what needs to happen. And here's the steps we're going to take to get to this point with this couple. And we can put that into action, but having somebody tell us, here's the direction that I think we're going to need to go. And depending on this person's response, we'll adjust, and that not be all on us is just a huge weight off, honestly. And just developing, you get to know somebody when you're working that closely with someone, you get to know them really well too. And so that's always been a blessing to serve and to serve our church in that way. It's not a weight that pastor has to carry all by himself either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brian, what about you? What has that relationship been like with group life pastor, and some of the challenges maybe that you even had as leading in a group?
Yeah, so I think our group life pastors are incredibly helpful, and I am grateful for their just discernment when they get to know their leaders. I can remember a lunch with a group life pastor in Chipotle on Haywood Road, and I gave that man an earful. Because I was just exasperated with a lot of things, personal life, the amount of pull we were getting to do things at the church. And I just gave him an earful, and he was like, okay. And he just kind of helped talk me through it, relieved some obligations that didn't need to be obligations. Like, he just kind of gave me clarity of, here's what we're going to focus on. Here's where you're going to go focus on your family. Here's where you're going to focus at the church, and we're going to drop all this other stuff. And it was a really, really powerful moment for me to just feel that shade and that protection, and that he recognized I didn't have time in that moment to do all the things that I was being asked to do. So that was really great. We had another group pastor that he took over as our pastor, and within 2 weeks there was an affair with a couple in our group. And so we got to know each other real quick. And so that was in a moment where I was really grateful for him, and just being able to have someone else to walk through of how to manage this with this couple. And by God's grace, that couple reconciled. And so it's been really cool to kind of see how all that took place.
Wow, that's so good. Well, I know that, you know, we believe as a church that discipleship and shepherding is hand-to-hand combat. And so, you know, we expect leaders and volunteers to carry real weight and get messy with people. And so that's what you're doing in this role. And you have an opportunity to do that kind of hand-to-hand combat, that discipleship. So maybe as we kind of land the plane here, could you just encourage our leaders that are listening, you know, just the impact that the discipleship work that you guys are being part of, could you just encourage us as we close?
I would say it goes both ways. As much as we take seriously the role that we've been given, we try to be vulnerable and honest about where we are in our faith and our relationship with each other and our kids and our families. And it's okay to be weak, and it's okay to be needy even as leaders, because it gives your group members an opportunity to show love to you. The thing that you are trying to model for them, they then can do for you. So when I lost my dad last year, I was pretty much not capable of leading. Mm. And so for a solid 6 months at least, and even now still a year and a half later, our group members are texting, calling, meals. Mm. We had one couple take over for us, and they met regularly when we couldn't. And they were for us what any group would be. Mm-hmm. So we're just as much a part of the group. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, you're just as much a part of the group as you are facilitating it.
Yeah, that's good.
When Molly and I were talking, as we were kind of thinking through doing this podcast, one of the things that Molly said was, don't sweat the small stuff. And I think that has been a huge thing for us of, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to make disciples. And that's the mission of our church. That's the point of our groups. And so there's a lot of extras that can be great and can help facilitate that discipleship. But at the end of the day, don't sweat the small stuff. Mm-hmm. Just if you're focusing on your relationship with the Lord, and you're focusing on how do we make sure we are modeling that pursuit of the Lord and challenging or encouraging that pursuit of the Lord, all the other things, they'll take care of themselves. And so I think that's a big piece of, you know, I know when we first took on a group, we felt a lot of pressure to do it all, to, you know, okay, they expect us to be their best friends. We need friends. Like, and just as at the end of the day, a lot of that'll take care of itself. And we, I think early leading a group, you can feel too much pressure to make it all happen too fast. And that's not what we're there for. We're there to make disciples.
Yeah, that's good. Man, well, thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been really good.